Some people say, the devil's in the details. That's not my favorite saying. Don't like to give the devil very much press. But you understand the significance of that, what people are saying, that you have to pay attention to the details, to the minutiae sometimes, because it can make all the difference. You may have heard the story many years ago, certainly before email and cell phone and so forth, of this woman who had gone to Paris on vacation. And she came upon a most beautiful painting that she thought she just had to have. And she wanted to have that in her collection. And so she sent a telegram to her husband, who had stayed in New York, and said, I've seen this beautiful painting. Please, won't you get it for me for my birthday? It's only $150,000. And so the husband considered this and then went to the telegraph office and asked the telegraph operator to send a message back. And the message was, no, comma, price too high. Well, the telegraph operator didn't pay enough attention to the minutiae and left out the comma. And so the wife received the message, no price too high. Certainly the very opposite of his intention. And a big hit to his wallet. Devil's in the details. We need to pay attention to small little things that make huge differences. Such is the case when we remember the whole debate and discussion around the Trinity, around our way of conceptualizing God, our way of trying to participate in the Godhead as followers of Jesus. I keep making references to our time in Turkey because that was the site that this debate came to a head. In 325, Emperor Constantine called together the church to solve this problem. It had to do with the relationship between Jesus and God and the Spirit. And at issue was one little letter. In Greek, it's called an iota. That's where we get the term, not one iota. An I. And the two words are these. Homoousios. Say that for me. Oh, Greek speakers, all of you. And the other word was homoiousios. Say that for me. Do you hear the difference? Homoi, homo. The difference is one little letter, I. But the meaning is huge. Homoousios means in speaking of the relationship of Jesus to God, that they are of the same substance, indivisible. Athanasius, church father, was pushing that perspective and was a stickler for that. Arius, another bishop, wanted, because of how he understood the relationship of Jesus to God, to include the I, homoiousios, which means he was of similar likeness or almost in kind. One little letter. But the church believed, many, that it made all the difference. Because it has to do with how we give expression to the mystery of this God whom no one and which no word can describe. And yet somehow we have experienced in our life in the death and teaching of Jesus Christ. It is that somehow in this community of one, God, Son, and Spirit cohere, belong, are indivisible and yet expressive. In significant ways. Three distinct. May I draw your attention to the worship bulletin? There is there a little icon. It is that famous painting by Andrei Rublev called the Trinity. I'm sorry it's a little bit unclear and small, but I think it would be useful for our illustration. It's from the 15th century, and he painted this in memory of a Russian Saint Sergius. It was intended originally to capture the story of the three strangers that came to Abraham and Sarah and announced to them that they would be having a child, even though they were well advanced in years. But it became known as the Trinity and was understood also as a representation of God. Now, although there are three persons, there's not meant to be an image or making an idol, but as best as you can make out, notice that the three are turned in to each other around a common table and a common cup. But notice that as you look at that, there is a space between the two in the forefront. And that is an image or an icon, if you will, or of an invitation for us when we see that to recognize that people of faith, as they meditate and reflect on God, they are keen and deliberate in recognizing that there is an invitation for us to join God at the table. So that space that you see there, Andre wanted to convey that we are welcomed into this mysterious communion of one. And that is the fundamental thing that I want to share with you today, briefly, about the Trinity. I have in past, and I sometimes, I think, have to confess of my own penchant at times to want to be so detailed and understanding and lay it all out that somehow lose the mystery. You've heard all of the references, the triangle, three sides, one triangle, H2O in its three states, water, gas, and solid as ice. All of those things somehow only barely scratch the surface because they're static. And more I'm becoming less concerned about trying to prove, as it were, geometrically or philosophically or mathematically, the Trinity. And more interested in understanding how we may participate in the essence of this whom we call God, which is love. And think and meditate for a moment on this notion of love. You cannot have love when we declare, as we do in our scriptures in 1 John, that God is love. We make that claim over and over again, and I am sticking to that. But think for a moment of the implications of that. You cannot talk about God as love unless you understand the dynamism of love. There can be no love except there is relationship. So the very nature and essence of God is relational. Therefore, when we speak of God as the three in one, we're speaking about an ultimate sacred relationship that is a model for how we belong and relate to each other. The very nature and essence of God as love means that there is the love that exists among the Trinity, if you will. There is the one who loves and the one who is loved. There is a coherence to the nature and identity of this God. But as importantly, as this image indicates, is the invitation to us. I believe that the Trinity is a model not only for relationship, but a model for social belonging, a model for socio-political reality. Because we are at sea. We are completely lost if ever we believe that we are disconnected from each other. In February 2000, at the World Economic Forum, Tony Blair, the then Prime Minister of Britain, said this: "The opening of the 21st century has seen a move away from a very narrow, perhaps selfish individualism towards the idea of belonging, of community, of a self-interest that is mutual." Now that's a good statement. I think it's a little bit overreaching. I don't think that is true yet, but there is a movement, I believe. And if you doubt that, look at the burgeoning of internet network sites. Facebook, MySpace, Twittering, all those attempts for people to connect with each other because somehow our world has become so diffused and the lie of individualism starting with the modern project in 17th century philosophy that we are autonomous beings meant to be only concerned about ourselves. This move to individualism has seriously undermined the essence and the hunger of our beings as human beings, which means to connect and relate to each other. It is the starvation of belonging that is driving innovative and creative ways for people to hook up together. And so what I'm suggesting to you, if we speak of the community of one of this Trinity, whose essence is love, whose dynamism is love, whose gift to us is love, then we must speak also of how we are to honor that. For there cannot be any relationship without love. Relationship activity, the activity of relating, is understood in love. Therefore, as we live out our relationships, we are to pay attention to both the standard and the content of that relating activity, which is God-modeled love. I mentioned 2 weeks ago I had the privilege of spending some time with Archbishop Tutu, speaking about a number of things, and I was reminded of his wonderful book called No Future Without Forgiveness when I was preparing for today. And in that, he talks about an African principle of Ubuntu. And the African principle of Ubuntu, a word that comes from the Nguni language, has to do with a recognition, indeed, that we are inextricably linked to each other. For I am because we are. There's a profound interconnectedness that is understood at the basis of traditional African relationship and society. There is no individual standing alone and apart from another. It is not that we do not have our personal uniqueness, but rather it is that that understanding of selfhood cannot be generated and understood in the absence of relating to other people. It is only as we relate to other people that we understand ourselves. And it's profoundly expressed in the book. Archbishop Tutu writes, "My humanity is caught up in inextricably bound in yours. A person is a person through other persons. A person with Ubuntu," Tutu says, "is open and available to others, affirming others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole." So we need both understandings of God to help us. The magisterium tremendum that comes from the vision of Isaiah, where Isaiah looks up and all that Isaiah could manage to see, even in his vision, notice it is only the hem of the garment of God, for no human can take the full frontal, broadside fullness of God and live. Only the hem, and even the heavenly creatures in this imagistic rendering have to cover their eyes because the light is so great, the glory is so tremendous. We need that notion of God as being wholly other, as being transcendent and above anything that we can conceive. But yet, do not fall into the trap. And this is the significance of the incarnation, of believing that this holy, other, transcendent God is so far removed from us that we cannot relate. For this is what it means when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and says, "You must be born from above." That I am here to communicate and to confer to you the particular sight, the particular posture to life and mystery that will help you experience the personal nature of God. Transcendent, immanent, personal, connected. And it is that that helps us understand this tremendous, mysterious God through the personal experience of the love that coheres in the internal nature of God and that which is shared with us and that we share. The Spirit is at work not only on the pages of Scripture, but all around. Look at the events that we speak of even today. I look at our newest member there, that beautiful little baby, Catherine, who has come as a gift to our congregation. Birth, think about it. She has been born into a what? A family, right? With love. Look how she is cradled at her mother's bosom. When Jesus says, you must be born anew or born from above, think of it spiritually. There is no birthing. We experience that all the time. You are not born except into a context. So you must be born anew, born from above with the spiritual life, means that we are therefore connected with others who are born. So that is a metaphor for a new kind of relationship, a new kind of belonging, a new kind of love connection. The Spirit of God and the internal nature of God is penetrated through all of our experiences. We think of Nick, who today spoke in emotional terms about gratitude to how the Spirit has come upon him and spoke to him and how he has been journeying to this place. The newest ordinand, not even 24 hours. Two pews behind him is Reverend Ott McKennett. Over 50-something years of ordination, who has served and who has believed and who has proclaimed the activity of this Spirit for decades. New, old, continuity. The Spirit ensures that there is the rhythm of movement and witness to this love and this God who calls us into relationship. The Trinity is not some static, mathematical, mysterious puzzle to solve. The mystery is an invitation, a community of one, and a model, an invitation into love, into modeling that which we are meant to express ourselves. Recognizing each other, breaking down the walls that we have erected between us. Practicing Ubuntu. You see, it becomes different. We don't need to haggle over, yes, there's a time. I love debate. I love polemic. I engage all kinds of people with apologetics and stuff about Christian doctrine. Less arrogantly now than I used to be when I was a teenager in early 20s. I confess that. Much more humble, open to possibilities of being wrong. There's a place for that. But I want to suggest to you that our more prized celebration and engagement with the Spirit is by living in relationship to one another after the way of love modeled by the Spirit, whose will, whose desire is one. I want to close with this quote from Thomas Merton, talking about the life of the Trinity, about love and living. Love, he writes, is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. We do not discover the secret of our lives merely by study and calculation in our own isolated meditations. The meaning of our life is a secret that has to be revealed to us in love by the one we love. And if this love is unreal, the secret will not be found. The meaning will never reveal itself. The message will never be decoded. At best, we will receive a scrambled and partial message, one that will deceive and confuse us. We will never feel the real in us unless we let ourselves fall in love, either with another human person or with God. It is the relationship of love that reveals the nature, desire, and practice of God. Our newest expression and covenant of that. Matt and Jess was back from their honeymoon 2 weeks ago. I conducted their wedding in Vancouver. We celebrated a love covenant and commitment. The Spirit we believed and claimed was there. This God whom we gathered in the presence of. The nature of that God is a community of one, modeling love, submitted and gave to them and to all who gather in that way the model of love, the model of commitment, of sacrifice, of mutuality. You see, in baby, in ordination, long and short, in marriage, in quiet, in difficult times with one's teenager, in the pain of caring for elder parents, in the difficulties and in the celebrations, this God this community of one is there present. Look, open your eyes and your heart. In the Trinity, this community of one will not be an aloof, distant reality. You will recognize right there, in your heart, in your life, where this God is present. We are made in the image of love. Amen.